Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is your daily message of hope on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, and this is Father Stosh Daily, joined live by Brother Tommy Piolata.
Hello, everyone.
Brother, you're a Capuchin Franciscan friar, hence all the brown.
A lot of brown. Not a Jedi. Someone once asked me if I was a Jedi when Star Wars came out, and I said, no, I'm the real thing.
It's the hood and the cord. Yeah. Now, brother, on Tuesdays, we have the privilege as Catholic Christians of remembering the holy angels, the angels who accompany us, the angels who guard us, the angels who provide for us. But then, if you're in a parish that has a special connection to the Franciscan family, you get to remember St. Anthony of Padua. Now, anyone who knows me... of which there are only a few, so, know that I love St. Anthony of Padua. Now, your vocation story involves St. Anthony.
It does.
Like any good vocation story involves St. Anthony. And they all involve St. Anthony's always there, whether he pops out of the closet or not. He's always there.
Look
you know?
At you getting your Franciscan votes in heaven. You know,
every now and then I vote. Now, what would you say was the connection between you, your vocation, Franciscans, St. Anthony, on this Tuesday, you know?
Totally. Well,
word has it you visited Padua.
I did. So, you know, when I was 17 years old, I went to Italy to visit some family. My mother was born there, and so we still have some family there. And I went for the first time when I was 17. And when I came home, I thought, you know, there really might be a vocation in I felt something,
sure,
for lack of better terms. And it was there when I was a little boy, too. And so I spoke with a dear priest, and he said, asked if there was anything in particular about Italy. And I said, I loved Assisi and I loved Padua. And so then thus emerged the possibility of a Franciscan vocation. In truth, however, St. Anthony eventually became an important figure in my own life because I was also profoundly attracted to a theological vocation, you could say.
Yeah.
I was moved also around this time by the writings of Pope Benedict. And at one point, I remember I was reading Jesus of Nazareth, and I closed the book, and I said, whatever this man has, I want. You know, I wanted to love the Lord like he did, and I wanted to be able to share the Lord like he shared. But the reason why then St. Anthony is important is because he really is the first great theologian of the Franciscans. Of the small little community of brothers that St. Francis founded, St. Anthony becomes kind of the pioneer of what becomes the Franciscan intellectual tradition.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just folklore, tradition, factual, you know, things get lost over time. But one of the beautiful things that's said is like Anthony was one of the first friars to be given permission to own something. And it was books. And he was also, there's this beautiful, beautiful account of a conversation that takes place between Holy Father Francis and St. Anthony of Padua. And St. Anthony is given permission to teach the younger friars theology.
Yeah.
But then St. Francis says, yes, please, but while you're teaching theology, don't rob them of their sense
spirit,
of mystery,
yeah,
you know, and their love.
Yeah, it's a letter. We have the letter.
And, you know, it's something that it's when we, and that's something that's not just between St. Francis and St. Anthony. It's something between every teacher and student. It's like, yes, teach, but as you're teaching, don't rob that sense of mystery, wonder, awe. You know, we all see children and they have that beautiful sense of curiosity about them.
For
and then
sure.
They go off to school and they're like, I never want to study again. It's like, I hate
so
school.
Sad.
You know, or it's like, I mean, okay, we're not so different from that in actuality. You know, we can be in an environment where we're studying and we're reading something we really want to read and learn, but then there's what we have to read and learn for class, and you're like,
Yeah. I'm well aware of this.
Because right now you are in studies in Rome.
I am.
And what are you studying in Rome?
Officially, I'm studying dogmatic theology.
Oh, does that mean there's an unofficial study?
No, that's the title of it. So I suppose this is the difference of what I'm doing on the side and what I'm doing. So my official degree will be in dogmatic theology. My focus, however, in that field, I focus historically on the 13th century and on the Franciscan tradition in particular.
Beautiful.
And my great friend is St. Bonaventure.
Oh.
The seraphic doctor. Seraphic is one of the angels, too.
Yeah. And what does that mean?
The seraphic angels would be the highest order of angels. Mm-hmm. And St. Bonaventure actually develops this whole a kind of robust theology of the angels, which was not so uncommon
right.
for the medieval men. I mean, they had a pretty profound appreciation of the angels.
Sure.
And St. Bonaventure really runs with this. And he sees in the seraphic angels, he sees just a burning, fiery love. Mm. And this is kind of the direction he sees the church moving towards, that the church, the ultimate glory of the church lies in burning love of God.
You know, we've referenced St. Francis, St. Anthony, St. Bonaventure, the seraphic angels. You know, we oftentimes forget that as a member of the church, as a disciple of Jesus, we are a part of the family of God.
For sure.
And it's incredibly important that when we consider the saints, when we look at the saints, when we ask them for their help through intercessory prayer, that we remember that they are more our brothers and sisters
yeah.
than they are like these imposing figures that kind of are looming over us. And I think, you know, when you run into somebody who has a deep devotion, a powerful devotion, a deep love for a saint, and you really get to know them, that individual, you know, who might be next to you or in your home or in your parish, when you start talking to that individual about that saint that's their favorite saint, you start to realize that there's like a family affair there,
mm-hmm.
you know? And a lot of people today, you know, are fiercely devoted to Padre Pio.
Sure.
A lot of people, you know, like me, love St. Anthony of Padua.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people have a beautiful love for the saints. And yet, then you'll meet people who are just grasping for straws. They're looking for a string to hold on to. They're looking for hope. And when you say, well, have you ever thought about asking, you know, Saint XYZ for help or for intercessory prayer? Then they'll recoil and say, but, you know, I thought I'm just supposed to be able to go to the Lord. And it's like, okay, well, when you draw close to a saint, it's not like you're uprooting Jesus.
Not at all.
What you're doing is, you know, you're asking the saint to guide you along the path towards union mm-hmm. with the Lord. You know, in your own life, you went to Padua and Assisi. One of the things that overwhelms me in my memories when I think about Assisi is, like, it's literally in the air, sanctity. I mean, the saints have walked those...
You can smell it.
I know! And it's not just that fantastic marinara sauce coming out of their, you know, Port Clair Monastery. but it's like, there's just something very beautiful and peaceful. And it, when you're walking through a town, a village like Assisi, the sanctity, it's palpable.
It is.
And yet, it's not supposed to be something or a reality that is limited to Assisi. That's supposed to be life everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's supposed to be in our home.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh.
Okay. It's quite the challenge.
I know. It is like, well, it was easy in Assisi. But in my own home, you know, it's not so easy to have this atmosphere of sanctity, this atmosphere of holiness. And that's really where you get to know the saints and you realize, well, what is it about those saints that had such an impact to where a whole town on the yeah. side of a hill reverberates with holiness?
It's incredible.
And it's like, they loved Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, they lived Jesus. And
just in one of the early biographies of St. Francis, there's a remarkable passage where the author says, Francis carried Jesus in his lips. He carried Jesus in his hands. He carried Jesus in his eyes. And he goes through just all of Francis and says that in all of those parts of St. Francis, he was carrying Jesus. And I think that's what is radiating about a figure like St. Francis.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's radiating about the saints. I think that's what's beautiful
Absolutely.
About them. And you said, you know, earlier that some people feel, well, if I go to the saints, that doesn't mean I'm going to Jesus. That sounds kind of weird. No, sed contra.
I know,
And, you know, I think, and what you said too, that the church in heaven, the glorious church that awaits us is still this church here.
Right.
It's one church. It's not that there's a church here and a church in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the weird tension that I think the church always faces is that at one time, in the same moment, the church is the goal of all of history, glory, and in the same moment, the church is a part of history, accompanying history.
Yeah.
And so there's this tension. But what the saints can do is they always reveal to us the glory that awaits us.
Right.
And so, yeah, they run to the saints because where they are, you know, we hope to be.
It's true. So true. I know when I was teaching in the early years of my priesthood, you know, the children asked such great questions and they would ask about the saints. And I would always, I love that analogy. It's like, okay, you know, let's picture ourselves in a school, which wasn't very hard for them because they're sitting at their desk. It's like, okay, but we're in the school of Jesus, where Jesus is the lesson that we're learning and we're studying and we're trying to make our own, his truth, his life, you know, his love, his way. Okay, so you're not the only student in the class, though. And there's a teacher. The teacher is Our Lady. She's the best teacher about how to learn about Jesus. But then who are the other classmates? Who are the other students? The saints. And this is the only classroom, it's the only school where cheating is encouraged.
That's it's awesome. Like,
look to your right and cheat off of St. Francis. Look to your left, cheat off
That's
of St. Anthony.
Great analogy. You know?
And I always had to make sure I pulled it back before the test. Because it's like, you know, because the kids are looking, I was like, can I cheat on this? It's like, no. You fail. No, you can cheat when you're in the school of Jesus, but this is the school of Father Stosh, and cheating's not allowed. But when Jesus is the lesson that you're learning, and like you're trying to make his truth, you know, beat in your heart, and you're trying to make his heart your own, look to the saints. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to look to the side, you know? And I think, you know, on this Tuesday, when we consider someone like St. Anthony of Padua, you know, there's so much more than just that one-dimensional picture. There's so much more than just the, okay, Anthony, I lost my keys.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very quick to help. I don't know how he does it, but he
does. May or may not ask him to help me when that happens.
But there's that beautiful joy of knowing he walks with us. Yeah. And, you know, as we bring to a close this message of hope on this Tuesday, here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, this is Father Stosh, joined by Brother Tommy Piolata, Capuchin Franciscan Friar, homegrown, native to the diocese. We wish you the Lord's peace. Do not be afraid to turn to the saints as you keep your eyes focused on Jesus.